I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Sex Science Sunday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. And on last Friday's Faith Friday, we talked about women of faith and how some of them, not all of them, but how some of them, specifically evangelicals, are reacting to the Kavanaugh nomination, and the overall surprising truth that there are so many women who support him and Trump, even though probably I can't imagine any worse combination for women, especially with this very, very sexist, misogynistic Republican Congress. So what does science have to say about it? Well, I'm going to talk about a study done by Sean McElwee. He did a study through his think tank, Data for Progress, and what he found was interesting, that support for Kavanaugh was heavily concentrated among people regardless of party preference and regardless of gender, who deny the reality of sexism and oppose policies to reduce sexism. In other words, they're not really worried about the sexism of Kavanaugh, or of Trump for that matter, because they don't even believe that sexism exists. And sure, this is a lot of men who believe this, but there's also a surprisingly large number of women who believe that sexism doesn't really exist or it isn't a problem. That requires a lot of women to close their eyes and squint them really, really tight to make sure they don't see what's all around them, but they do that. What he studied was a series of views that are known as hostile sexism. The way academics look at hostile sexism, they see it as something that involves the objectification of women and expressions of inferiority, in contrast to benevolent sexism, which suggests more of a paternalistic way that women are better at things, such as being more empathetic. So he asked a series of questions to try to ferret out this hostile sexism, and these questions included things like, many women are actually seeking special favors, such as hiring policies that favor them over men under the guise of asking for equality. If you agree with that statement, you probably are more on the hostile sexism side. Another question, most women interpret innocent remarks or acts as being sexist. So those people would be more on the hostile sexist column, but they also asked questions like, feminists are not seeking for women to have more power than men, and feminists are making entirely reasonable demands of men. If you say no to those questions, then you're probably on the hostile sexism side of the equation. They also asked about support for specific policies designed to reduce sexual harassment and assault. One of the questions was, currently, when companies fire executives who engage in sexual harassment in the workplace, those executives receive large severance packages. Should Congress pass a law that would allow men or women who are found guilty of sexual harassment in the workplace to be fired without severance? Another question was, would you support or oppose government requiring sex and consent education in high schools to prevent sexual assault and harassment? And would you support or oppose empowering the Occupational Safety and Health Administration to levy fines against companies with high levels of sexual harassment? Now, you can guess how those who are hostile sexists would answer those questions, those last three. And they found that the further you are on the hostile sexism graph, the more likely you were to support Brett Kavanaugh. Now, I don't know that they're going to use that in trying to encourage women to support him. It doesn't really matter. Ultimately, it will be a majority of white men who put Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. Even if all of the women in Congress opposed him, they don't have the numbers to stop him. Now, I don't think we can make the scientific claim that if you support Kavanaugh, you're a sexist. But I can say that if you're paying any attention at all, if you're a sexist, you probably support Kavanaugh. And yes, women can be sexist too. The good news, and the reason why this is going to be such a battle in the coming years, is that most people who score high in the hostile sexism category do support Kavanaugh. The majority of Americans don't support hostile sexism. Only 1 in 3 respondents believe that women who complain about harassment often cause more problems than they solve. And only 1 in 5 believe that women should return to their traditional roles. That's according to the Voter Study Group, which did a survey. But still, 1 in 3 who believe that complaining about harassment causes more problems than they solve. Of course, it's the problem I have with the question, because it's true. It often complaining causes more problems for for the woman, but that's because our whole system is so screwed up and there's so much sexism and hostility towards women in the workplace. I think we're going to see ferocious battles over the next couple of years where the Republicans are turning our government very, very hard to the right, and the studies just don't show that that's where the American people want us to go. So things are going to get ugly, really, really ugly. In general, people who oppose the use of fetal tissue in research are people who have religious faith convictions that the byproduct of pregnancy should never be used for any scientific purposes. It's a religious belief, ignoring the fact that the body sheds fertilized embryos on its own all the time. Of course, they're also anti-abortion, so they believe the government funding of fetal tissue research and fetal tissue procurement companies creates a profit incentive for providers to increase the number of abortions they perform. Well, that lacks an understanding of business and how medical services work. It pretty much has a disconnect from reality in general. It's not true, but it's what they choose to believe as opponents of abortion. Unfortunately for the rest of us, they've been very successful in repeatedly blocking access to fetal tissue for research, which has incredible promise and has already provided a number of significant breakthroughs. And one of the things that's been quietly happening in our government, especially with the Department of Health and Human Services, is more and more anti-choice extremists are being put into positions of power. And the Department of Health and Human Services announced last week that it terminated a contract between the Food and Drug Administration and fetal tissue supplier Advanced Bioscience Resources, Inc., and they're now doing a review of all agency fetal tissue policies. This is not being done because the science has changed or anything significant has changed, other than that anti-choice extremists are now all over the place at the Department of Health and Human Services. The head of HHS is Alex Azar, who is an anti-choice extremist and a supporter of abstinence-only education, and abstinence-only until marriage education, which is the worst variant of it all. Even though Scott Lloyd, who is head of the HHS Office of Civil Rights, has been under huge pressure because he's so controversial, he has promoted the denial of health care to LGBTQ people, to prevent health care from people seeking abortions and other reproductive health services. And Scott Lloyd seems to have the full support of Alex Azar. So it's sort of become this very, very right-wing, politicized government agency. And it's part of the continuing Republican war on science. And wars on science are nothing new for governments, but things did not generally go well for any of the governments, or at least not the people under those governments, when those governments had a war on science. And some of the chief strategists of part of that war are those in the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health, OASH. They administer most of the pregnancy and women's health initiatives under HHS, and it is this office that's behind the anti-fetal tissue research. They also pushed for other anti-choice policies, including the domestic gag rule, and they introduced the concept of sexual risk avoidance, a term for abstinence-only sex education coined by OASH official Valerie Huber, was also a far extreme anti-choice, an anti-sex education advocate, or at least any kind of sex education that would actually teach you anything useful. Before she got her job, she was an abstinence-only crusader. And of course, she's also anti-choice. So we're basically plucking science out of HHS. They're not making decisions based on science anymore. And that should be scary. Now, it's true that that's happening throughout our federal government. When it comes to issues of sex and gender or global warming or any of the other things that Republicans oppose, they are getting rid of the scientists and putting in political hacks who have political and generally extremist agendas. I think we're already in a crisis situation because we are turning our backs on science, and our entire government is being used to push political agendas that fly in the face of what we know from science. And now we face an uncertain future. We don't know what kind of government we're going to have in the future. But right now, what we've got is a government that is decidedly anti-science, and that's really dangerous.